powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is. And nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for this moment of worship with you, God. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would dwell in this place, that you would sit here with us. I pray that you would be with the remainder of the service, God. We love you, and we thank you, and we welcome you in here. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. Hey, you may be seated. Yeah, give it up for our worship team this morning. Very thankful for them, very thankful for their dedication to lead us all in worship. Welcome to everybody who's now tuning in online. So grateful that you've joined us here, whether you're here in person or whether you are tuning in online. So very thankful. As we get started here this morning, we've got a few announcements that we would like to go over. But before we get into the announcements, I just want to welcome you here. If you're new here, my name is Pastor Ronnie. I'm the senior pastor here at Springfield Baptist Church. It's an amazing honor to be able to pastor this church, and we just want to welcome you here this morning. If you're new, our goal is to walk beside you as you take your next steps in faith, whatever that looks like. That could look like so many different things. It could look like baptism. It could look like salvation. It could look like getting plugged in to a midweek. We've got our midweek Bible study starting up again August 6th. We've got different things going on in the church. It could just mean getting plugged in, right? Whatever that next step is, we want to walk beside you as you take that next step. If you're brand new here, if you're a first-time guest, we'd love for you to stop by the Connect counter out in the lobby, fill out a first-time guest card so we can get to know you a little bit. And if you're not brand new and you do just want some guidance on what your next steps could be, we'd also love for you to stop by the Connect counter there, fill out a card, let us get a hold of you and see how we can help you take those next steps in your faith. So with that, we've got some announcements here this morning. So this Saturday, August 2nd, coming up, is our back-to-school event that we've been planning for quite some time, right? We've been filling the pool for back-to-school, right? So this is going to be an awesome opportunity for us to reach out into our community and be the literal hands and feet of Jesus in many ways to these people that maybe are struggling to get some school supplies or a backpack or whatever. And not just that, but we're also going to be giving out free haircuts. This was born out of an amazing... Somebody came to me after we preached a giving message, and they said, listen, my gift is that I cut hair, so maybe we could set something up and give away free haircuts one day. And from that little thing that was planted in the heart of somebody in our church, this giant thing that we're now partnering with Milheim Baptist Church and Moms on Target, now we have the opportunity that somebody was obedient to God and came to me and said, hey, I want to give free haircuts. Now we've got the opportunity to serve our community as a whole with school supplies, free haircuts. It's going to be a great, great thing that we have the opportunity to do. So a couple of things with that. Today is the quote-unquote deadline to donate school supplies, but if you haven't and you want to, our church secretary will be here throughout the week. If you want to come up and drop some stuff off, that's great. You can do that. And also, we need people to help set up. I'm going to be up here Friday evening around 5:30 setting up everything in the back for this big event that we're going to do. So if you have some time, I would love to have some help with that. We've got a sign-up sheet at our Connect counter. We've got some people. I'm sorry. We don't have a sign-up sheet to help, I don't think. Maybe we do. Stop by there. They'll tell you. I don't know what I'm talking about. Either way, we also need people to serve at the event. I know we have a sign-up sheet for that, okay? So they're holding up sign-up sheets to me. We do have sign-up sheets back there. Thank you so much. So sign up. Come on out and help, because this isn't something that we're doing for any other reason other than to show people the love of Jesus Christ, right? Our mission statement is to empower faith, build community, and show people the love of Christ. We're doing all those things in one fell swoop with this event that we're going to be doing for our community. So it's awesome. I just want to encourage you to be part of that in whatever capacity you feel led to be. The next announcement here is actually going to be a video that we're going to play for you. So go ahead and play that video.
Morning. I'm just here to remind you that the Foundations class will be starting up again next Sunday, August the 3rd, 9:30, down in the lower level, the very first classroom. I'd like to invite all of you to come to that. It's an hour of Bible study, fellowship, and great discussion over whatever book we're studying at the time. We're going to be starting Revelation next Sunday, and if you know anything about Revelation, you know you can often get more questions than answers, but we'll do our best to work through it. Hope to see you there.
Hi, I'm Sophia. One of the things I really enjoy about the Foundations class is how deep he gets into the Bible, and it's just easy to take notes in that class.
Hi, my name is Jen Curry. I've been attending the Foundations class for over a year now, and I've learned so much by attending the class. Rick does a great job of explaining the history of whatever we're learning about, and currently we've been going through the book of John. He also does a great job of explaining the Jewish customs and culture so that we understand why Jesus used the example. And he also does a great job of pointing out the life applications and how we can use Jesus' word in our daily life. So I hope you're able to attend and join us. You'll definitely learn a lot.
So what is our Foundations class? Our Foundations class is our adult Bible study that's every Sunday morning, 9:30 a.m. Rick Reynolds leads that, and he does a phenomenal job. Rick does a great job at teaching the Word of God. He's such an asset to our church. He helps teach our Wednesday night Bible study as well so that I can get a break from time to time. So he does a really great job. We have that every Sunday morning, so that's just another opportunity for you guys to come and learn. It's, again, every single week. And mentioning Bible study, so we took a little bit of a break for the summer. So we took the month of July off of our adult Sunday school class and our Wednesday night Bible study, but Wednesday night Bible study also starts back up on August 6th. So we meet here at 6:30. We usually take about an hour. There's some snacks and some good fellowship, and we dive into verse-by-verse teaching of the Bible. So we've got some different opportunities for you to come on out and get, you know, Sunday mornings is a great part of the body of Christ where we come together. It's not just Sunday mornings, though. It's such a good thing for us to come together outside of a normal Sunday morning and dive into God's Word together. So we've got some opportunities for you to do that. So thank you, Rick, for making that video. Last announcement, our church picnic is this Sunday, August 10th, at 11 a.m. It's going to be at Butler Park. There is a sign-up sheet out there in the lobby for you to sign up to bring some food. We will provide the main dish, like the meats. I can't remember exactly what we're doing, but the church always provides that main part of the food for the church picnic. It's a great time. We have some worship. We do a quick little devotional message, a little snapshot message, and then we just hang out together and have some food and eat too much, and it's a good time for everybody. So lastly, we talk about giving every single week. And, you know, usually when I talk about giving, I'm always like, you know, it's not just to keep the lights on. It's not just to do this or that. It's to, you know, see life change made possible through our church. And that's 100% true. We give to see people's lives change through the love of Jesus Christ, right? We can't operate without giving. And we just want to see people come to know Christ. But today, we actually have a very tangible thing that I wanted to bring up during our time of giving that I always talk about. And that's the fact that our AC unit back in our office wing has went kaput, okay? So our church secretary is here 5 days a week, and then that's where my office is. But I can work from home. She can't, right? So it is unbearably hot back there right now. So why am I telling you this? Because it's very expensive, okay? It's going to cost about $5,000 for us to get this thing fixed. And I'm telling all of you this because if somebody, maybe somebody wants to help with this, maybe obviously you can't give $5,000, but maybe you want to say, hey, I want to help out with this, you can do that. You can call the church office this week and talk to Larissa. You can grab one of the elders, Rick, Rich, myself. You can be totally anonymous if you wanted to do that. And, you know, if you can't, you can't, but I just wanted to let everybody know that we do have a very tangible need in the church right now, and that is to get this AC unit fixed so that Larissa, our church secretary, is not sitting in a hot box 5 days a week, okay? So, you know, we do talk about giving every single week, and it is very important that we do give to the church. And again, most of the time, it's just so that we can see this mission continue to happen. But this week, we have a very tangible need. So how do we give here at SBC? We've got many ways: cash, check, Tithely app, we've got the text to give, and we've got the website. If you do want to give to the AC, don't do any of those. Find a person and we'll tell you how you can do that, okay? So let's go ahead and pray, and we're going to get into our message today. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for who you are, God. We thank you that your name is, in fact, as we just sang, above all names, God. We thank you that you have just, you've provided your son so that we can know you. You've pursued us, God. You initiated the relationship with us before we ever had any love for you, God. And we're so very thankful that you are who your word tells us that you are. We're thanking you today for being present in this place. We're thanking you for providing for us. We're thanking you for our health. We're thanking you for loving us in the middle of our mess, in the middle of our imperfections. We're thanking you for loving us and sending your son so that we could know you. God, I just pray over this, the remainder of this time, Lord. I pray that you would use these words, God, that you would anoint them, God. I can't say anything of any value unless you use it, God. I pray for open hearts and open minds. And I pray if there are people who are here hurting today, God, that you would use these words to heal their hearts. God, I pray that if people are in here and they're confused and they're not sure what they're supposed to do, I pray that your words would bring them clarity. God, we love you and we praise you. It's in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Okay, so I always start with a question here. By a show of hands in this place here today, and if you're joining online, you can participate in this as well. You can put one of those little raised hand emojis. Who would say that every aspect of your life, every single part of your life is going great right now? Who in the room would say, oh, okay, dang, I'm trying to hang out with you guys. That's what I'm, hey, no areas of your life are bad. Not a single one. Not no confusion. You don't even got like you don't even got corns on your nothing. Cool, bro. That's good. I would not be able to raise my hand. Okay, I'm just saying. There was only a couple of us that were. I'd be curious to see how many online put the little raised hand emoji. But today, mainly, what I want to do is I do want to talk to those of us who might be going through it in our lives today. Maybe part of your life is an absolute mess. Maybe it's a big part of your life that's a mess. Or maybe just a little part of your life is a mess. Maybe you're just frustrated. Maybe you're confused or upset. Or there's something in your life that's just hanging on and you can't quite shake it. There's a lot of people in our world today that are struggling, and many of them are right here at SBC or tuning in online. There are people that have recently gotten super scary news from the doctor. There are people that have lost loved ones that were very, very close to them, and they're hurting. There are people that have been trying and trying and trying and trying to conceive, and they can't. Today, what I want to do is I want to talk to the people that are going through some things in their lives. Maybe some scary things. Maybe some confusing things. Maybe some painful things. Maybe some things that are just really tough to deal with. Now, maybe you're here today and you're like, well, I'm cool, Pastor. I'm going to go because none of that applies to me. Sit down. Just stay here. Because maybe for you, it's not something that's like heavy, like what I just talked about. Maybe you're not going through one of those crazy, painful, heavy things in your life, but maybe for you, it's as simple as the fact that your life is just kind of mid right now, right? It's just like, meh, it's just okay, right? It's not bad, it's not great, it's just kind of okay. Your job is just your job, and you show up, and you clock in, and you clock out, and you go home, and it's just kind of mid. Your finances are okay, but they're not where you want them. But you're surviving. It's just, it's cool. Maybe your marriage. Your marriage is fine. We're fine. But it's not great. Maybe it's not that heavy. But maybe you're just kind of meh, right? My pastor down in West Virginia, and many pastors, and even I have said this, that you're either in a storm You're heading into a storm or you're coming out of a storm, right? We've all heard that. I hate when people say that. And I say it all the time. You know why I hate it? Because it's true. It's true. And the reason that that saying, that annoying, frustrating saying is so true is that we live in a broken and sinful world. And because we live in a broken and sinful world, sometimes life will get difficult. Sometimes we go through what the Apostle Paul, Peter would have called fiery trials. Some of us in this room right now or tuning in online are likely experiencing fiery trials right now. Peter chapter 1 verse 7 says this, "These," and he's talking about trials, "these have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed." So today, we go further into the life of Daniel and his homeboys, right? And what you're about to see happen today is that Daniel and his homies are about to be tested. These dudes are about to experience the fiery trial of a lifetime. They're literally going to face flames of trial in their life. And what we're going to learn from them is this. A faith that's been tested is a faith that can be trusted. A faith that is tested is a faith that can be trusted. Now, really briefly here, let's look back where we've been. We started all the way back where we talked about the fact that the king had went into Jerusalem. They destroyed Jerusalem. They destroyed the temple. And they did that out of spite to say, the God of Israel is no true God at all. You guys worship this God in your temple. We're going to destroy it. They did it as a slap in the face. So they go in. They destroy Jerusalem. They take the best and the brightest from Jerusalem and they take them back to Babylon. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were among them, right? So they take them back and now they're going to indoctrinate them into the ways of the Babylonians. The king wanted to totally reprogram these people. They wanted to take them from their Jewish culture, and indoctrinate them into the ways of the Babylonians, specifically removing their faith from the one true God of Israel. So, King Nebi, that's what we call him, because I'm not trying to say that name over and over and over again. King Nebuchadnezzar. King Nebi thought very, very highly of himself, right? He was pretty full of himself, and we'll talk more about that, but he was going into where we started. He goes into Jerusalem, conquers it, brings back the best and the brightest, and then that's where we kind of left off for week one. Now, week two, we had Parker come up here on Young Adults Takeover, which, can we just give it up one more time for that? That was awesome. I think Parker did a great job, and the whole Young Adults Takeover was awesome, but Parker came up and kind of took us on a different trail kind of this whole idea of unshakable faith. And what Parker taught us, which was awesome, it was so much wisdom from such a young man. He taught us that choosing faith over our fear is actually an act of obedience to God. What a great message for us to hold on to, right? But then last week, we talked about the fact that King Darius then made this decree, made this law that nobody can pray to anybody but me, right? Because the officials went in and glazed King Darius and they're like, hey, you're the best. Nobody should be able to pray for you. He's like, cool, let's do that, right? Daniel prays to him, gets thrown into the lion's den. Remember, Daniel was old at that point. We're coming back to where Daniel is young. He's a young man when he goes into the flames. So that's what we talked about last week. Now, this week, let's get back to King Nebuchadnezzar. Okay, so King Nebi, he builds this giant statue of himself, right? We've got a picture of it for you up here, well, what it should have possibly looked like. So he builds this giant statue of himself, right? Now, King Nebi, because he was so full of himself, he builds this statue, and he calls together all the members of any part of his government. Now, this would have been the equivalent of our U.S. president calling together the Senate, the House, and not only that, but all of the local governments, calling them all together and saying, hey, you're going to bow down to this giant statue that I've made of myself, okay? And regardless of what you think of the guy in office, I've never seen him do that, okay? So that's the equivalent of what would have happened when King Nebuchadnezzar built this giant statue of himself, called everybody together, and that's where we pick up today in Daniel chapter 3, verses 4 through 6. Then Herod loudly proclaimed, O people of every nation and language, this is what you are commanded. As soon as you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and all kinds of music, you must fall down and worship the golden statue that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. And whoever does not fall down and worship will what? Immediately be thrown into the blazing, fiery furnace. So what are we seeing happen here? We see an announcement made, and it's basically like, hey, everybody, listen up. This is what's happening, okay? King Nebi, right? He built this giant statue. When the playlist kicks on, right? When the ox gets plugged in and the playlist starts playing, right? You're going to fall down and worship this statue. And if you don't, you're getting smoked. Literally. Like, you're getting smoked, right? Now, we've talked about the fact that Daniel and his homies, they loved God. Like, they loved the God of Israel. They loved the one true God of Israel, and they've loved him throughout this whole process. And they've been true to him up to this point. But now, they're being told that they have to bow down and worship this false idol, or you're getting tossed into the oven. This is like a big yikes moment, right? Like, what am I supposed to do here? So they're told, you either worship this false god or you die. This would be the test of all tests. And we have to remember that a faith that hasn't been tested is a faith that can't be trusted. A faith that hasn't been tested is a faith that can't be trusted. So the king says, bow down or die, right? And there would have been a huge crowd of people that would have gathered, right, on that day to hear this message that was being told. Like, when this music plays, all of you bow down or you're going to die. So there's, I don't know how many people it would have been, but I can just imagine this giant crowd of people. So then the music played. What do you think they did? They bowed down because they didn't want to die, right? Daniel chapter 3, verse 7, therefore, as soon as all the people heard the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, and all kinds of music, the people of every nation and language would fall down and worship the golden statue that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. So, in other words, basically the music started playing, and all the people, I just picture like a courtyard full of people, or maybe even like a giant concert, right? Maybe at Blossom. And all the people just bow down. Except who? Except Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, picture this. You're at Blossom, you're at a concert, and there's thousands of people, and everybody bows down, but you. You're the only one standing. You probably stick out like a sore thumb, right? You wouldn't go unnoticed, right? Well, neither did Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were noticed almost immediately. So some of the officials saw that these boys aren't bowing down, and they ran and they went and snitched them out, right, to King Nebi. And he didn't like it. He was mad. He was mad. He was big mad, right? So King Nebi, he calls him in, and he reprimands him. He screams at him. And he basically says this. He says, bow or burn. Bow to the statue that I've created, or burn in the flames of the fiery furnace. Daniel chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If the God whom we serve exists, then he is able to deliver us from the blazing, fiery furnace and from your hand. Don't miss what just happened there. Remember, we talked about the fact that sometimes we can speak truth and it's not from a place of love and respect and honor, right? We said, do you want to be right or do you want to make an impact? Remember, that was a couple of weeks ago. So do you see what just happened here? They were clear. They were kind. They were respectful. They didn't scream at King Nebuchadnezzar. They weren't rude. They weren't arrogant. They didn't say, hey, King Nebi, bro, this law is stupid, all right? This is stupid. You can't make me do it. The statue that you built was a giant waste of time, and it's a giant waste of money. This is dumb. They didn't tell him any of that. They didn't tell him, bro, this is weak sauce. You can't make me do this. My God is the one true God of Israel. They didn't say any of that. What they did was they respectfully said, listen, we trust God. And we believe that our God will deliver us from your hand. Basically, the boys are taking a stand and they're saying this. They're saying, my God is able. My God is able. Now, that preaches really, really good, right? And my God is able is one of those things that would look really good on a t-shirt, right? It would look really good on a coffee cup. And it would look really good on the screen if apparently I didn't send the wrong thing to the AV team so they don't have it to put on the screen. It would look really good up there, right? My God is able. That preaches really, really well. My God is able. That gets us excited as Christians because it does. It sounds really good. And it looks really good on a t-shirt. And it sounds really encouraging because it's true. Our God is able. But what happens when your life is literally on the line? What happens then? Because that's what we see take place with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Their life is on the line, and they're saying, my God is able. I don't even know that we can understand what they're actually going through in this moment. I don't think that we can even begin to understand that. But what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were doing in this moment is the fact that they refused to compromise their faith even in the face of death. They refused. They refused to compromise their faith even in the literal face of death. Can you just think about that for a minute? That is the type of boldness that we as Christians should strive to have. But if we're honest with ourselves, I'm just saying, bro, I don't know. A faith that has been tested is a faith that can be trusted. And if we can just be real for a minute, I think we could all just kind of admit the fact that it would have been much easier for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to just blend in, right? Like, hey, bro, look, everybody else is bowing. Why don't we just bow? Nobody's going to know that we actually serve the God of Israel, right? And our God is a good God. He'll forgive us anyway. Why don't we just bow? We can't live for God if we're dead, right? It would have been much easier for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to just bow down with the rest of the crowd. But instead, they refused to compromise their faith, even in the face of the fiery furnace. As Americans, we have no idea what this means. It's impossible for us as Americans to truly understand what this means. Now, there are people all across the world that live this every single day. There are people that have to hide the fact that they're studying the Bible. There are people that have to memorize the scriptures because if they get caught with the word of God, it's a literal death sentence. There are places in our world that have that reality. But for us, it's real easy to be like, bro, this is Old Testament stuff. I can understand the principles in what you're preaching, but this isn't relevant for me. I'm never going to have to choose my life, right? I'm never going to have to save my life to stand for God. And that might be true. It might not be true. It may be true that you will never have to choose between bowing or burning. But let me tell you a very important truth. Your faith is tested every single day. Every day, my faith, your faith, our faith is tested. Don't believe me? Do you join in the joke about the loser Christian guy? He's not going to the club. He doesn't want to go out and drink and hang out. He's staying home because he's a Christian. Do you join in? Do you give in to the gossip about the people in your own church because they're not your people? Do you treat people with love, respect, and dignity, even the ones from maybe they're in the LGBTQ community. Oh my gosh, we can't love and respect. We don't affirm. But do you treat them with love and dignity? Do you treat the people that maybe voted for somebody, Kamala Harris, Donald Trump, I can't treat them with love and respect. They voted for him. They voted for her. Quiet. Do we treat them with love and respect? Even the ones that we vehemently disagree with? Do you join into the division of the political atmosphere and culture that our world is stuck in the middle of? Or do you rise above it? And do you represent Jesus Christ and his love? Listen, voting in this country is an honor that we should never take for granted. But if you put that above Jesus Christ, then you've got your priorities mixed up. We got to show everybody love and respect and dignity, even if biblically they're not living the way that they should. They should see Jesus in us, not judgment. Every day, your faith is tested. Every single day, you make a choice. And that choice is this: do I do what's right or do I do what's easy? Do I please God or do I please people? Guys, we have a choice between worshiping God and giving our hearts to an idol. You might be sitting here like, Pastor, come on, bro. We don't give our lives to idols. Like, we don't have idols in our lives in 2020. We don't have idols in our lives in 2025. Hold on, I'm busy right now. We don't have idols. It's 2025. We don't have idols. Oh, hold on. It's July, man. That means fantasy football season is right around the corner. I can't come to church because my draft is on Wednesday night. Y'all have fun at Bible study, but my dynasty draft is on Friday night. I can't come to your group because I'm drafting my football team. Okay? We don't have idols in 2025. Oh, sorry, my CrossFit group meets on Sunday mornings. I got to go get my workout in. I can't come to church. I can't come to church on Wednesday nights because that's my fitness club. We don't have idols in 2025, do we? We would never in 2025 give our hearts to idols, right? Just saying. I can absolutely guarantee you one thing. If you're committed to serving God, the devil will tempt you to compromise your faith in God daily, every single day. Even in the face of death, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they refused to compromise their faith in God. Let's look back at the scriptures, and I know we already read verse 17, but I want to look at it from the New Living Translation. Then we're going to read it again, and then we might even read it again, because guess what? I got the microphone. Okay, here we go. Daniel 3:17, if we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve will save us. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. But even if he doesn't, hang on to that, we want to make it clear to you, Your Majesty, that we will never serve your gods or worship the golden statue that you have set up. Who in this place or tuning in online is thankful today that our God is able? Who's thankful for that? Who's thankful for that? There we go. Let's clap. Who's thankful online? Type it in the chat. Like, I'm thankful that our God is able. I'm thankful. I am so thankful that our God is able. We all deal with things in our life that we never expected to deal with. We all struggle. We all fall short. We all give into sin in one way or another. We all have hard things in our lives. But our God is able. Our God is able. And sometimes when we're facing these crazy hard things in our lives, we have to remind ourselves that our God is able. Sometimes when we're in the middle of the flames, we have to remind ourselves that God's word says that through him, what? All things, not some things, all things are possible through him. When we're going through it, when we're hurting, when we're lost, when we're confused, we have to remind ourselves that we serve the same God that healed the lepers, that opened the blind eyes, that opened up the deaf ears, that rose Lazarus from the dead. We serve the same God that raised Jesus from a borrowed tomb because our God is able. Our God is able. Let's go. Give it up. Our God is able. Our God is able to heal. Our God is able to heal broken relationships and broken hearts. Our God is able to meet the needs of every single person in this room through his glorious riches. Our God is able. He's able today. He's able forever. Say it with me. Say, our God is able. Our God is able. Our God is able. Our God is able. But let me ask you this question. Even though our God is able, what happens when he doesn't? What happens when you know that our God is able to heal, but he doesn't? What happens when you know that our God is a provider, but you're living from a place of poverty or lacking? What if you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that our God is able, but in the end, he doesn't? You ever been there? I've been there. I'm going to share a personal story, and this is really hard to share. It was just a couple of years ago that I was on my way to work, and I got a text from my Aunt Kathy that said they're taking Uncle Herb to the hospital in an ambulance. Uncle Herb was like my father most of my life. I got off the highway, and I turned around, and I prayed the entire way to the hospital. We got to the hospital. We prayed in the waiting room. We prayed and we prayed and we prayed that Uncle Herb would be okay. And that was the day that we lost Uncle Herb. One of the hardest days of my life. What do you do when you know God can? What do you do when you know God can, but in your situation he doesn't? What do you do? That's hard. It hurts. It's not easy. What do you do when you believe God for a miracle and he doesn't? Let's look back at Daniel 3, 17 and 18. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. But even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to you, your majesty, that we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue that you have set up. Sometimes God doesn't do what he's able to do. Even when we pray in faith, Even when we believe and know that he can do it, sometimes he doesn't. And did you notice what the scripture just said? If our God doesn't do what we know he can, we're still never going to worship your gods or your statue. Basically, they're saying, look, bro, our God is able. We know he can. And this translates to us, no matter what you're facing in your life today, your proverbial flames of the furnace, whatever it is that you might be going through, I want you to look at this prayer with me. We're going to put it up here. Hopefully I didn't forget it. This is the most powerful prayer that you could ever pray in your life. God, I believe you can. God, I believe you will. But even if you don't, I still believe. Put that back up one more time. God, I believe you can. God, I believe you will. But even if you don't, I still believe. Even if you don't. Even when you don't. I still believe. I still trust you. I still honor you. I still believe you. I still believe in you. The reality is that there are some of you in this room and tuning in online that are just like me when I was younger. You believed God for something, he didn't do it, and you walked away. That's not real faith, guys. And I can say that because it was me. I'm not judging you. Real faith is believing that he can, but understanding that he's still king. Real faith is knowing that he can, but understanding that he is sovereign. Real faith is a faith that has been tested. Real faith is a faith that can be trusted. Don't miss this. Real faith believes in Jesus on the other side of disappointment. Sometimes you're going to be disappointed in your relationship with Jesus Christ. It ain't all rainbows and butterflies over here, guys. Sometimes you're going to hurt. And guess what? It's absolutely normal for you to be frustrated by that. It is absolutely normal when you believe God is going to do something and you know he can and he doesn't. It is 100% natural for you to say, God, I know you could have. Why didn't you? It's not abnormal to get frustrated in those situations, but I'm here to tell you that there comes a point in your life where you have to decide if he's God or if you want to be God. There comes a time in our lives where we have to ask the question, is he the Lord of my life or am I the Lord of my life? Because our God is able. We believe he can. We believe he will. But even if he doesn't, I still believe. So where are we with Daniel and his homies? Well, they're in front of the king. The king is hot. See what I did there? He's hot. Because he's about to heat up this furnace, right? We're about to see just how hot King Nebuchadnezzar is, right? He orders this furnace to be heated 7 times the typical heat, right? And he takes 7 of his, I guess, biggest, baddest. This is how I picture it in my mind, okay? They're these big, muscle-bound, tough guards, right? And they go up and they tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they take them to dump them into the furnace. But these dudes weren't big enough or bad enough because they get consumed by the fire. The fire is so hot that the soldiers that were ordered to take them to the furnace were cooked, literally. So, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they're in the middle of this fiery furnace. And this is something that I was studying this. I just kind of couldn't get past. The fact that the king was actually watching. The king was so angry at these boys that he didn't have them ordered into the flames. And then, I don't need to see this. He was literally observing them being thrown into the flames. That's how angry that he was that they were worshiping this god of theirs. He was so mad he wanted to watch the destruction. Don't miss that. So he throws them in the fire, and he's watching. He's watching as they're in the middle of the flames. And as he's looking, he's confused by what he sees. And I can only imagine he's thinking something like, how is it that I'm seeing something so different than I know is true? Daniel 3:25. Look, he answered, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the form of the fourth is like what? The Son of God. Bro, what just happened? What just happened? Well, what just happened is our God is able. Our God is able. Three men were thrown into the fire, but there are four when King Nebi's looking into the flames. Who's the fourth? For any of you who have been in church for any amount of time, you know that obviously we don't have absolute proof of this, but scholars and theologians believe that the fourth man in the fire was literally Jesus Christ. This is what's referred to as a Christophany or a theophany, okay? So what does this mean? That's a big word that I just learned about 2 weeks ago, okay? So there you go, honesty. Christophany, root word is Christ. The secondary word is ophany, which means appearance. So scholars would say that this is an Old Testament appearance of Jesus in the flesh, saving these boys from the flames of the fiery furnace. Now, obviously, this would have been a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus, but you might be saying, well, isn't this before, like, Christmas? You know, like, Christmas hadn't happened yet, so how is Jesus? Well, it's always been the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus didn't just show up on the scene when he was sent to earth. Jesus has always been, right? This is just an example of him pre-incarnate. Now you know a new term, Christophany, okay? That means Christ showing up in the Old Testament. So, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are in the flames, and now Jesus is in the flames with the boys. He met them in the middle of the fire. So pause, set that aside for a minute, okay? Let's just ask the question. Many of you are familiar with this story. Do the young men, does Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do they live or do they die? It's okay, you can say it. They live, right? They survived this super hot fire that had already consumed the guards that were taking them to put them in, right? It's a miracle. It's a miraculous thing. But can I just tell you something that's even cooler than that? They didn't just survive. They didn't even smell like smoke. Did you hear that? They didn't just survive the flames, but they didn't even smell like fire. Guys, some of you are walking through the proverbial flames of the furnace of your life. And what I'm here to tell you this morning is that through the power of the Holy Spirit and through relationship with Jesus Christ, you can come out the other side completely unscathed. And not only can you come out the other side completely unscathed, but you don't even got to smell like smoke. That's the power of our God. Why? Because our God is able. Our God is able. Our God is faithful. And he showed up in the middle of the flames with these boys. So what happens? On the spot, King Nebi pulls him out and promotes Daniel and the homies. Promotes them on the spot. Now, not only does he promote them, but we see another example. Remember King Darius last week, where King Darius put his faith in God? Now King Nebi puts his faith in the one true God of Israel. Daniel 3:28. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Pause. Do we just realize that he was so mad 15 seconds ago that he was literally about to watch these boys be consumed in fire for worshiping and standing for the truth of their God, and now he's putting his faith in this same God? That's powerful. Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any little g god except their own big G God. Our God is able. Our God showed up for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And as we begin to close out here this morning, I want to be really clear about a couple of things here. Let's look at what God did do versus what God did not do. When was it that God delivered these boys? Was it before they got into the fire? Or was it when they were in the middle of the heat of the fiery furnace? Which one was it? It was when they were in the flames, right? In other words, he didn't deliver them from the fire. He delivered them in the fire. And what this teaches us is very important, that God doesn't always deliver us from our trials, but he's always with us in our trials. In the middle of the hottest fire, the most detrimental experience that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had ever experienced, even worse than being ripped from their homes, their parents potentially murdered. This would have been even worse because now it's their necks on the line. This is the worst thing that they've ever experienced. And Jesus met them there. I don't care what you're experiencing. If it's the worst thing that you've ever felt in your life, if it's the most pain you've ever experienced in your life, it's the hardest loss, it's the sickest of sick, it's the hurt of all hurts, it's the addiction of all addictions, it doesn't matter where you're at, because Jesus can meet you there. He met these boys in the hottest of all hots. The Son of God, pre-incarnate, met them there. He will do that for you. He can do that for you when you call on the name of Jesus Christ, when you put your faith in him, when you put your trust in him. He may not always remove you from the trial, but he will never remove himself from you in the middle of it. Our God is able. Our God is able. Our God is able, and he's faithful. Can you just think with me for a moment what it would have been like? They get thrown into the fire, and first of all, they're not dead immediately. So if I'm Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I'm already like, well, those dudes are dead. We're in the middle of, like, what's going on, right? But then Jesus appears. And in my mind, I can't think that Jesus would have just showed up like, what's up, guys? I got you. Don't worry about it, right? To me, I have to believe that Jesus might have showed up and said, your heavenly Father is so proud of you. Your heavenly Father is so proud of the fact that you stood up for his name. Your heavenly Father is so proud that you didn't compromise in the face of death. Your heavenly Father is so proud of you. I can only imagine that maybe, even though they probably wouldn't have really cared in this moment, like, bro, we're in the middle of the fire, can we talk after? But I just wonder if Jesus might have told them, like, you boys, your story is going to travel for generations. And all across the globe, for the rest of history, when people are persecuted for the name of God, when people are even martyred for the word of God, you are going to be their encouragement. I just wonder if Jesus would have told them the impact that their faith had on eternity. I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us that he did. Bible doesn't tell us that he didn't. I just wonder, what would it have been like? I can tell you this with utmost certainty. The situation that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego thought was going to take them out was the place that they met Jesus. The situation where they were as good as gone. There ain't no coming back from this. Knee-deep in the flames, they met Jesus there. And he saved you. What does that mean? Whatever fire you're in your life, whatever storm you're in your life, whatever hurt, hang up, whatever it is, wherever you're stuck, even if you feel like this is about to be it for you,
The place where they thought they were going to die is the place that Jesus met them and saved them, and he can do that for you too. Will you stand to your feet this morning? I've asked the worship team to do a little bit of a song here as we close out. I would just ask that you would take this time. Maybe every eye closed and every head bowed. And I would just ask that you would take this time. You know, the first step to Jesus delivering you is you submitting your life to him. Is you saying, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I can't do this on my own. What do you mean I'm supposed to call myself a sinner? I'm a sinner too, bro. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There is one way to heaven, and his name is Jesus Christ. And he will deliver you from whatever you're in. But you have to submit your life to him. Are we Lord of our lives, or is he? If you've never met Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, today can be that day. I can't save you. Nobody in this room can save you. The only one that can save you is Jesus. And all it takes is a conversation between you and him where you say, I give my life to you, Lord. I can't do this anymore. Take my life. I give it to you. You submit to him. And he dwells within you. That's salvation. If that's you in this room with every eye closed and every head bowed, that's you and you need that, I would just ask, maybe raise your hand and I can pray for you. I promise you nobody's going to come through. Nobody's going to embarrass you. I see your hand. I see your hand. I see your hands going up. Listen, this is step one. This is step one to the rest of your life. I'm going to ask the team to sing a song, and I just want to invite you guys. Listen, if you feel so moved, come up to this altar. Pray. You don't have to. You can stay right where you're at. But it doesn't matter if you just raised your hand or you didn't. If you feel so led, bring your burdens, those things that you need Jesus to meet you in the middle of. Bring them and lay them at his feet. That's what this altar is for. That we would surrender the things that are holding us back to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm going to be over here. If you want me to pray for you, pray with you, feel free, come see me. I just want to encourage you. Lay these things at this altar. If you want to give your life to Christ, it's just a conversation between you and him. And I'd be happy to help you with that. Let's go. Let's go, sir.
is the kingdom. Yours is the glory. Yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, what a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is, and nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus.
Faith that has been tested is a faith that can be trusted. Our God is able. In the middle of whatever you're carrying in this place this morning, our God is able. We believe He can. We believe He will. But even if He doesn't, we still believe. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank You for the beautiful, powerful name of Jesus. We thank You that You are with us in the middle of the flames, in the middle of the fire, in the middle of the hurt, in the middle of everything that we deal with, that You're in the middle of it with us. We just call on that beautiful, beautiful name, that You're with us, and we believe You, and we trust You. And even if You don't deliver us, even when You don't deliver us, we believe in faith that You're standing right next to us, just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. But You don't leave us. You never forsake us. Lord Jesus, we love You. I pray over these hands that went up that said, I need a relationship with Jesus. I pray a boldness in their lives, God, that they would take that next step, Lord. I pray that You would just continue to tug on their heartstrings, and that You would lead them and guide them and direct them to the correct place to meet You even closer. Lord Jesus, we love You. Everything we do here is for You. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You are dismissed. Have a great week, everybody.